Otherwise, I won't get one. But if any of you want to book a deli and Joy, you have to see me. I'm their manager. Okay, and so just you'll find me on Instagram, on Facebook. Okay. Father, we just want to thank you for this morning. Lord, we want to thank you that we can have fun, Lord, in your house. And that also, Lord, we rever you. We give you reverence. We give you honor. And Lord, we're just so thankful for all that you have done, Lord. We thank you for your love, your goodness, and your kindness. And so, Lord, bless this time together. Bless your word, Lord, as it finds a place in our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. So on Friday, we had a really, really, really good lunch. And I had, so we always share a message. And I had Andrew, this guy, come who volunteered at Port Care for many years. And he came and seen me about 4 weeks ago on a Monday morning. And he walks into Port Care and he says, "Oh, Charlie." He's all excited. He goes, "Guess what? Because I just got water baptized." I go, "Whoa, hang on." Because when I knew him, he was an atheist. And he didn't, you know, had no, you would know, Andrew. He had no, just zilcho, you know. And so when he worked with us, we used to share our faith with him because he would ask questions and we'd just share. We never, you know, we weren't Bible bashers. We just loved him and we shared the word when it was appropriate. One day I remember him saying to me, "Charlie, can I read that book?" I said, "Sure, it's called The Reason for God by Timothy Keller." So he took that, read that. I think he brought it back in about 3 days. Anyway, the day he came in, he says, "You got a few minutes? I'll tell you what happened." I go, "Yeah, of course." And so Andrew goes for a walk every morning down at the Bibra Lake. And so this morning he started his walk, and as he's walking, he says, "Charlie, I started this thing come to me, just this feeling, and it was Jesus, and it said to me, Jesus is your friend, Jesus loves you, and that was it." And he's telling me, "Because Charlie, I got all teary," and I'm thinking, "What's this? What's going on? You know, Jesus touching me." And so he did his walk. He went back home. And it happened again later that day. It's the Holy Spirit touching him. I know what that is. And so so he begins to start to investigate again. And so he finds a local church and he goes to this local church and he meets the minister and he talks with him. And he says, "I don't understand this because I'm an atheist, you know, but this is going on in my life." And so took quite a while, and it was probably 6 months later he got water baptized. And I have not seen somebody who has been so transformed, so changed like he has been for a long time. I mean, for a long time. He's just so full of joy. He's just so full of love, and he's going, "I don't know why I didn't do this earlier," you know. And he came in during the week to see me, and he came in with, he's got this T-shirt, and he went and bought a white T-shirt, took it to the printer, and got them to put the cross on the front. So graphic, you know, printed the cross on the front, and on the back he had Jesus, Savior, my dearest friend, my God, something like that. And he's walking around, and that's what he's, you know, he's just been touched so much. So he came on Friday and he shared his story about what Jesus has done for his life. And so why do I tell you this story? I tell you this because that's what Christmas is all about. Jesus changing our lives. You know, when I was 19, I didn't want to be the person I was. I was terrible. You know, I was a shocker. And so I'm so thankful that Jesus has changed my life. You know, that's what the gospel does, is it changes your life. It brings joy. It brings peace. Now, there's a lot of misconceptions in Christianity and what people think. And one of those things is that people think that God is in a distance, that he is far, far away. And we're just mankind down here just doing our bit. And we kind of have this, you know, we have this head knowledge in our head that, yeah, God's there, he's watching over us, but he's in a distance. But I want to say this morning is that Bette Midler actually sang a song. In a distance, you know, I'm watching you. And anybody want to sing it? Come up and sing it. So what I want to say today is that God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, they live outside of matter, time, and space. Okay? So God is outside of that. But yet he is omnipresent, that he's here. Yet he is omniscient, he's all-knowing, and he's omnipotent, he's all-powerful. But he wants to get a message to us. He wants to get a message to humankind. So how does he do this? Andrew, can we have a look at, can we go to the scripture in Matthew, please? Chapter 1, fantastic. And chapter 1 from 18, and it goes to 23, is it, or 22? Yep, great. Can we all stand up? Excuse me, you got your daughter on your lap, that's fine. You don't have to stand up, it's perfectly fine. So if you'd like to stand up, please, if you can, stand. If you're more comfortable sitting, you sit down. That's okay. Let's read this together. I'll count to one, two, three, and we'll read it together. One, two, three. This is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and the boy will call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. Amen. Take your seats. God is with us. God is not in the distance. God came to earth. If he wanted to come and talk to the birds, he would have become a bird. If he wanted to go and talk to the, he would become an elephant. If he wanted to become a cat, to talk to the cats, he'd become a cat, but he'd become human because he had a message for mankind. So what is God like? What is he like? We can have many misconceptions. Number one, that he's at a distance. But he's not. He is with us. What else can be some misconceptions that we can have about Jesus, about the living God? That is exactly what I was going to say. Sometimes we think that God is someone who stands there with a whip or a stick, and he's a hard taskmaster. The minute you do something wrong, kabam, whack. Well, no. No, he's not like that. For God so loved the world. The world. You can put your name in there. You, that God so loved you, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves you. God loves you and I. Very, very much. So when we think of God as the Father, Father God, for some of us it can conjure different thoughts about God the Father. We think of, it might be your own father who was a hard taskmaster, who was harsh, who was horrible. Sometimes even worse than that. Some dads can be great. I'm actually a great dad. I'm happy to say it. I love my kids, love my granddaughter, love my wife. And that's only because God has changed me. Because of his love, I can love. Am I a perfect father? No way. I'm not a perfect father. Am I a perfect husband? I was going to say wife. Am I a perfect husband? No, of course not. But God makes a difference. God changes us to be like him. God puts within us his love, his kindness, his mercy. And that's how we live our lives out as believers, as followers of Jesus Christ. Another thing, another misconception be that God is very, very judgmental. Sometimes we can get that from our fathers or our mothers. Do you want to hear something funny? I'll tell you something funny. I got called up by a friend, a volunteer at Port Care. He wasn't well, and I got called to the hospital. And they said he's not good. So I went up there and I sat with him and I said to him, what's going on? What's happened? And he says, oh, they found this thing in his stomach. He already had emphysema and he was waiting on a lung transplant. And he was dying. And he asked me, he says, will you please preside over my funeral? I said, well, of course I will. I've known him for a long time. And so we just talked and I prayed with him. One of my prayers was, my first prayer was, Lord, he's a single father. He's got a beautiful daughter who's 32, two children. And he's been a great dad. He read her up and she's married and have two kids. And so my prayer was this. I said, Lord, I just thank you for Cliff. I thank you for his daughter. I thank you for the two children. And I thank you that he's been a great father. And, you know, and then when I finished praying, he said to me, you know, Charlie, some people have said to me on Mother's Day that I'll use his name, Cliff, you've been a great mother to your kids. And he's on his deathbed and he goes to me and he says to me, he goes, you know, I'm not a mother. I go to them, I'm not a mother, I'm a father. I can't be a mother. And so I thought that was quite funny, you know. And so, and he's been a great dad. He raised this young girl up on his own and Yeah. So what are some other misconceptions we can have is that we think that God can be very, very judgmental, judges us on everything, you know, and so we can grow up with this thing that we think that God is very, very judgmental. And so I want to encourage you this morning to say to you that God is not very judgmental. God does bring judgment where there's evil occurring, where there's things happening. But the Bible does say we've all sinned. It says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So the wages of sin is death. So living a life in sin, death, if we as believers aren't living right, we're just going to bring death to our own lives. We're not going to flourish. We're not going to enjoy our best lives. We're going to live in sin, shame, and guilt. Okay? Is that what we want to do? No. You want to live a life where God sees you and he sees you clean. Of course you're not going to be perfect. Of course you're going to make mistakes. As we do, we ask the Lord for forgiveness. Lord, forgive me. Yesterday, I swore. I got angry. You know, I used to sometimes get angry with my kids. And I would always go up to them and tell them after, look, I'm really sorry. That's okay, Dad. They forgave so easy and so beautifully. It's okay to admit that you're wrong. Ask for forgiveness with your wife, with your husband. Don't hide your faults. Say, look, I'm sorry that I said this or I said that or I done this or I done that. Be real with each other. Be real. It's important to be real. Don't go hiding things. If you've got an issue with something and you're hiding it, go and talk to somebody. Go and see someone. Get some counsel. Because if you hide it, it's just going to grow. And it will strangle you. And you will not have your best life. So get help. Get some help. Okay. So can we please have a look at John? The Gospel of John, chapter 1, please. All right. Just let this sit on you as I read this. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created. And his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But, to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth, resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. Just leave that up for me. Thanks, Andrew. For all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. To all who believed him and received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. This gift here, given to me by Sue, I can leave it in here and never open it. It could sit on my mantelpiece, it can sit on the chair, it can sit on the lounge. I can put it in the garage. I can just let it sit there and store. Leave it in storage. It's not going to do anything. You can have the knowledge of God. You can have the knowledge of the greatest gift on earth, Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean anything until you open that gift. Until you receive that gift and let that gift become a part of your life. If you leave it, you will never know or experience how beautiful and amazing that gift is, whatever it may be. So there's a scripture that says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see. It's not watch from afar, but taste and see that the Lord is good. I was in Victoria Park on Friday night. My son took us out for dinner. And then after I walked past this frozen yogurt. Who eats frozen yogurt? They had ice cream shops there, but I love frozen yogurt. So I haven't had it for a long time. So I have to go in. I've got to try this. I actually didn't go in straight away because there was a line. And it was like, oh my goodness, the line was just crazy. So we went for a walk, then we came back, and I said, I have to just try this. I can't go past. So I waited, and I got down, and I tried five flavors of yogurt. And it was beautiful. I don't know if I can remember them. There was strawberry, there was the vanilla, which is the plain one. There was mango, there was a chocolate one as well. I didn't try the lychee, but there was another one that I can't remember it. I didn't know what it was going to taste like. If I went home, I'm telling you, I would have been in regret. Oh, I should have just gone in. I should have just done it. I didn't care. I had to wait. I waited, got down, and was I enjoying it? It was so good. I just loved it. So taste and see that the Lord is good. Jesus knocks on the door of your heart, on the door of your life. And if you open that door, he will come in. And he will spend time with you, as much time as you want. Jesus is as close to you as his breath, as close to you as your breath. It's just a matter of you just receiving him into your life. Allow him to become the Lord and the Savior of your life. The gentleman that I prayed with last Saturday, I also prayed with him to receive Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. I've done it before with him. And when I talked to him, he said to me, Charlie, you know I'm not a religious man. I said, I don't want you to be a religious man. I just want you to put your faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus doesn't want you to become religious. Please, don't be religious. Jesus argued and he got angry with the religious people. Don't be religious. Just be real. Love the Word of God. Love Jesus. Love your Heavenly Father. And live your life out. Don't be the moral police officer at your work or the moral police officer, you know, in your community. Just be the light, share your faith, share the love of God. Don't be a horrible Christian. Don't be a horrible person. So it's not about being religious, it's about having a personal. Jesus came so that you can have a personal relationship with him. That's what he came for, have a personal relationship with him. To love God and love his community. Mark Twain said, said that there's two most important days of your life. The day you are born and the day you find out why. What's your purpose? God has a purpose for each and every one. Many of you are living that purpose. Many of you are in that. Jesus will. You will find your purpose in him. Believe me. Whatever it may be. Whatever you do, it will be about you just honoring Jesus with your life. You might want to become a hairdresser. Well, do that. You might want to be a pilot. Do that. But wherever you go, be salt, light, share your faith. The Lord called me many years ago into the community, and that's what I do, and I love it. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's, when I say hard, you know, when you're meeting someone that you know and you're preparing them for death, that's hard. When someone rings you and says, my child's father has died, I can't tell my child, will you come and talk to my child? That's hard. I think it was 2 or 3 years of age. That was probably the hardest thing in my life. Sitting down, talking to him that his dad's not coming home. But by the grace of God and by the Holy Spirit, I was able to journey with this young boy and bring that through. So, how long have you got to live? How long have I got to live? You know, eternity is for trillions and trillions of years. This earth here might be, you might be here to your 60, to your 70, 80, you might live to 100. Great. But think about the long term. You want to get right with Christ and follow him. Let's stand up, please. So, in a setting like this, and it's Christmas, I certainly want to give people the opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Because if you're here and you're without him, I would hate to think that if I didn't do this and something happened to you tomorrow, I'd be going, God, it wouldn't be good. So I don't want to live in regret. So I just want to give this opportunity to anybody who maybe you've known Jesus Christ and you've fallen away because of disappointment in the past, whatever it might be, and you're here today. I want to encourage you. I want to say to you that Jesus loves you. He's for you. He is not against you. And I say to you, respond to Jesus Christ today. Respond to Jesus Christ there. I'm going to pray this prayer. I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer with me. And then I'm going to ask you after that if you prayed this, I'm going to ask you to put your hand up for me, then put it down, and I would like to talk to you after the service. If we can do that, that'd be really, really good. Okay? So this is a prayer. Receiving Jesus Christ. This is not the beginning. This is just the start of your walk, of your journey with Jesus. And this is how the prayer goes. You can pray this with me. Lord Jesus Christ, I come to you today. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. Thank you that you love me, that you are for me and not against me. Thank you that you are close to me, that you'll never leave me nor forsake me. Thank you for coming into my life today. in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that for the first time, can you just, or the second time, put your hand up and put it down again, just so I can just see, please? Anyone? Okay. Wonderful. All right. Are we going to finish with the song? Is that what we're doing? Do you want to come up and we'll finish with the song?